I'm going to share a story, and I put this on Facebook, just so everyone knows that I was a little ahead of my time as a kid. I know what you're thinking. That's right on, because Chris, you are hip with it, and wow, you're welcome, right? And it's true. When I was a kid, I was like culturally advanced. Let's just say that, right? And like the way I use my humor and my fashion and my pronouns, all that, all those wonderful things, people didn't recognize and still don't. And I just say that I'm just further ahead than most people when it comes. And I still remember the time when I heard Chris Cross. You guys remember Chris Cross? Remember? Yeah, we got a bunch of 90s kids here, right? So Chris Cross, I heard that song for the first time, and I felt like someone got me. Right? They just really, like, make you want to jump. I'm like, I want to jump with you, Chris Cross. And also that, oh my gosh, it's so great, right? And they spelled their name with a K, Chris Cross, the K, and my name spelled the K, so I felt like, all right, I'm hip now as well. And I loved it, and I went to, I wanted to find, watch like the music video, and we didn't have cable because my dad said the cable didn't go that far in Carlton, so that's honestly, that's what he said. And so I went to my grandma's house, and in between like Price is Right or Nick at Night, whatever she was watching, I like flipped to MTV so I wouldn't get caught, and I saw Chris Cross. And so first I felt like they got my heart from the music, right? And I saw the way they dress, and I'm like, that is me. I'm gonna do that. And I felt like finally had the aha moment of like, here it is, I have arrived. And I still remember sitting in our white van. It was like a 15-passenger van with these green, like, gross leather seats. You know, like the ones that ripped and you'd slide across and, like, slice your skin open? That was like, and they're like 1,000 degrees. So I'm in that van, and my family went into this very conservative church, and I turned my clothes around. I put my shirt on backwards, put like my denim jean shorts, like turned them around. I was like 11 or 12. And I walked in. And you know, it's interesting. The response I got wasn't what I was anticipating. I thought they're like, you are a genius. You're so relevant. You're just as amazing. I thought I was going to be this trendsetter throughout this really small conservative church. And really what I got was like, what are you doing? Like, get back. Your mom's going to, do you know your mom goes to church here? Like, get hurry up before you get in trouble. And sure enough, I'm like, Mom. And she's like, what are you doing? Get into the van. Right? I was just a little too, advanced in me being relevant. You know, and maybe this is part of your story. Maybe you're here and you feel like you're relevant to yourself, right? And the way you dress and the way you use humor and the shows that you watch and the art that you love and all those things, you just feel like I'm relevant. I'm just a little further ahead. And really, relevancy is, depending on what you want to be relevant on or for, if it's just for yourself, then yeah, you can be relevant. If it doesn't impact or matter what other people think, then I think that's good. Like, well, I have a friend, and she says, let your freak flag fly, all right? Just enjoy being you. But when your mission might be a little bit bigger, or maybe like your vision or your dream for your life, and you begin to widen that circle, then what you're relevant to or what you're relevant for might change with that. And it's interesting, like, you know, as businesses grow, they have to be more relevant to their audience, to their customer base. They have to keep up with the times. And the same thing is somewhat true when it comes to even following Jesus, when it comes to being followers of Jesus and being a community of hope, a church. You know, we're going through a series called Who We Are. Who we are as a vineyard. What really makes a vineyard church a vineyard church? And the vineyard has a distinct set of values that doesn't make us better. It just sets us apart. We're saying we're going to do several things on purpose because it's how we do what we do. It represents what we want people to experience and feel. And one of those values is that we want to be culturally relevant. And you might hear that word, and some people, I said it to one gentleman today, and he's like, oh, no, not culturally irrelevant, right? Well, you might feel like people hear culturally irrelevant when it comes to the church, and they think, oh, you're just going to water down the gospel. You're just going to, like, just make it really hip with it and wow and flashy lights and, like, let's get loud and crazy just so you get people in the church, and that's all you need. And really, being culturally relevant is dependent on your mission. And if your mission is very clear and your mission of where you're going, what you're trying to accomplish, then being culturally relevant is not a threat. Not at all. It actually helps you accomplish that mission. So what is the mission as a follower? Like, when we say the church, do you guys know who the church is? Who's the church? Yeah, we are the church. It's not just the corporation. It's the individuals. It's like Kaya. Kaya is the church. We individually are the church. And so what's the mission? The mission is this. Matthew 28. Jesus is coming back from the dead, from the grave, and he has this big, like, a very long conference where, like, rehashes with his buddies everything he taught him again, all about the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And he's about to, like, peace out right back up to heaven. And he says in Matthew 28, verse 18, 20, he says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" So there's three things in here, right, about the mission. Now, again, this is not just the mission of the church, as like just the corporation saying, all right, some pastors are going to do this. Jesus is speaking to, like, you. This is what he's inviting us. This is what we're supposed to, like, be bending and leaning towards in our life. The first thing is this: all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. So Jesus is saying, like, hey, every single thing you need has been given to me. And then he goes, so, like, go out. If that's true, go out. I'm empowering you. I want you to go do it. And he says two things: baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This isn't just the water baptism. You know, the water baptism is a symbol of experiencing, like, being immersed in the Trinitarian God, in all of his beauty, in all of his wisdom, in all of his hope, in all of his power, being, like, completely submerged in the grace of the kingdom of God, the Trinitarian God. And being baptized in water is a representation of that. So it's not just go dunk a bunch of people. He's saying, like, let them experience the beauty of God and baptize them. Then he says, and then teach them to do, like, every single thing I taught you how to do. Like, if you think about that, he's not just saying, you know, just the things that you got and the things you understood and the things that make you feel really comfortable, just do those. All the other stuff that makes you feel uncomfortable, just push it aside. He's saying, everything I've taught you, that's the Bible. That is everything. Jesus saying, all authority has been given to me. Now I'm inviting you to go do it. And then he ends with what? He goes, and I'm going to be with you always. Like, I will always be right by your side. I will always be there. For what? To empower you, to encourage you, to champion, to notice you, to teach you, to give you what you need over and over and over again. So what is the mission? The mission is to go into all nations, every single person. The word all there really does mean all. Like, to be a person on mission means that we are engaged in every single human in the entire world. Just doesn't go to the place where we feel comfortable, just where the people have the same color skin as us, and, you know, they go to that school, and we all know that school, right? Like, we'll just let them. We're happy for you, school, and you just hang out over here. We'll be over here. He's saying go everywhere. So if that is our mission, to engage, to love, to serve, to lay down our life for every single person, how we are relevant to that culture is going to adapt. It's going to change. So if a value is that we want to be culturally relevant, it means we want a culturally relevant mission. That means we as a community are willing to go to where the people are, not just waiting for them to come to us. We're willing to, like, find out what they love. We're willing to speak their language, regardless if that is a different country or if that's like Moose Lake, right? How they talk, what they love, what they talk about. If that's, like, I was a youth pastor for 12 years. Like, the way that I would talk to students looks not too much different, sadly, right? It looks a little different than the way I still talk now. I'm trying to learn, right? The way that we talk to our kids and the way we worship is going to be culturally irrelevant to, like, my daughter Kira. Like, the way they worship is a lot of hand motions, right? A lot of, like, yay, go God, we're for you, right? I mean, we don't do that as much here. Maybe we should try it and see if you guys want to do some hand motions, right? So, but we're willing to be culturally relevant. And we're going to talk a little bit about why. And where do we find it? Remember, you always want to go back to the Bible. Well, where does it really say that in the Bible? Because think about it this way. Like, you could think of the church, you could think of the church maybe as a fortress. This is how some people really view what church is about. It's like, hey, let's get a group of people together, and when we get to the point of where we feel comfortable, where we feel like this is enough, right? Like, there's a lot of people here. There's a lot of people here. We might get to the point of where we say, okay, we have the perfect amount of volunteers, we have the perfect amount of people, and we know how to set up and tear down, you know, fairly efficiently, and we know how many cups of coffee to make. And so let's just stop inviting people. And we might not say it, like, well, let's keep everyone out. But it's interesting how easy it is for communities of faith of where it becomes a fortress. We say, okay, let's just like take the pedal off the mission of engaging every single person. And let's just like keep it like us four, no more. And because, you know, the group of us, like we know like what our struggles are, and we know like what our habits and our addictions are, and we don't remind each other of those because then we'd be reminded of ourselves, and so we feel safe by just talking about other things instead of about ourselves. And we know who's coming in, and we know who's not coming in, and it's easy to make it an us versus them culture. And the truth is, like, the church should be part of a fortress. As in, it should be a place where you feel safe. It should be a place where you feel like, hey, I can come, I can connect with Jesus. There's a place where there's peace, there's hope, and there's safety. But when you go to the point of where you begin to like not live out this mission, we say, well, that's someone else's job. Someone else will like share life with people like in Renshaw. Someone else will show up to the teachers, like, what do you call those, conferences, and like really find out what the needs of the school are. I'm just going to like, just hang out here and be safe. And why do we do that? Because you don't get hurt. You don't get hurt. You know what to expect. You know what to anticipate. You don't have to be vulnerable. You don't have to learn another culture. You don't have to, like, even going to, like, connecting with kids. And you're like, I don't have to really make an effort to learn what they like, to work with students. They take a lot of time to earn their trust, to hear their story, where you can speak and influence them. Like, not for me. You know, we want to be culturally relevant, but do it on purpose, to do it on mission. I mean, and you've probably heard stories of maybe other churches where they will make it about these really odd things, but like it's real to them. Where there's been church splits over like, okay, what kind of music are you going to be playing? We want to sing hymns, and if you have these evil machines called drums, right? Like, if you have those drums playing, then poof, we're out of here. Why? Because that's not how we do it, right? And that's okay. You don't need to have drums in order to worship God. But at some point, do you know that hymns were culturally relevant? And hymns were at some point like this, like new idea that introduced how to connect with Jesus in practical ways, and there's probably other people that had another split, like, you can't sing hymns. Who do you think you are? We need to chant. I don't know what you did before that, right? So, like, whenever we make it just about, oh, the good old days, whenever we make it about, like, just, like, us four, and we have to keep it the same. We can't change, like, the kind of juice we use for communion. We can't change, like, the songs that we're singing. I talked to one pastor where their church was going through, they lost a ton of people because he said, you know what, our town, the city we live in, is like, they have way more people of color than our church. Like, their church represented just a very, very small, like 1 or 2% of people of color. And so they're like, well, maybe we need to change that. Maybe the way we do music, maybe like the way we talk, maybe having more people of color on stage. They walk and they could see someone who looked like them. So it'd feel like a safe place. And because of that, like, a bunch of people left the church saying, no, 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 no. And the pastor goes, I didn't realize my church became like that closed fortress. You see, I hope, my prayer, Nikki and I, our prayer, we just talked about this, that in 5 years, you're not sharing the same stories. In 5 years on stage, you're not just laughing at the same jokes that I tell over and over again. I only have like five, all right? I hope that right now, as you look around the room, that you don't recognize every single person. Like, I really love you guys. You guys are great, right? You're great people, big fans of you. But there's so many more people in Carlton County who are dying to be noticed. My prayer is that in 5 years that we're like sharing stories of like, hey, you know, my boss, he prayed for his friend and he got healed. And how did that happen? Because in my small group, we talked about like God really wants to heal people, not later, but even like right now. That right next to you, right now, like in 5 years, that the same people around you are different because it's your neighbors that you met. And you're laughing because last night you had a party, like a community party where you, like your kid like had like juice spill out of his nose. And you're laughing about that still, right? Where you're like high-fiving and hugging and crying with like another family from across town that you like sat down and met with and talked about how do you really have a healthy budget, and they got debt-free finally. That you're sitting like at the park. Our dream someday is at the Vineyard Church that we have a park that's opened up like all year round where people can come, share life and play and giggle and laugh and share a bench with another parent and say, how you doing? Like, I don't want just the same God stories from 5 years ago. Because you know what happens? Maybe you've heard this before. Maybe you had this in your family. But the only stories you share are like, oh, do you remember in the good old days? Or maybe in your marriage. Oh, do you remember like the best part of our marriage was like a honeymoon? If that's the best part of your marriage, you're missing out. You're missing out because there is a good and beautiful life for you, not just 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 5 years ago. It's available to you right now. And for us to be culturally, have a culturally relevant mission means that we're engaged in our community. We know what our community wants. We know what the obstacles are. We know like what the opportunities in the school are. We know like what, like our little neighborhood, like our own little city block. We know what they love. We know what they're reading. We know what they think. And why? Because we love them. You know, another word for this being on mission is evangelism. And that word, it brings up a whole lot of emotion. Right? You hear it. I've never met anyone like, unless they're a self-titled evangelist that really likes that word, like evangelism. Ooh, that makes me feel happy, right? A lot of people associate evangelism to different words, like manipulation, bait and switch. Hey, come, we're having a party. Sweet, I'm coming. They show up and they're like, and now let me tell you about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the next half hour, right? Like, and again, I love the cross. But we can like do this weird Christian bait and switch thing. Or maybe you heard something like turn or burn. You heard about this? Right? Like turn from sin or you're going to burn in hell. Wow. That's good news. Thanks. Wow. I am really interested in this God now. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's funny. If we really sat down and talked about it, this would be one of those Christian culture things that we make it that's not so relevant to wider culture. So how do we go about being culturally relevant? Because think about it this way. If we're not relevant as followers of Jesus, who are we? If we're not relevant to the city that we live in as a church, then who are we? Like if the Vineyard Church shut down, like you leave here and for whatever reason they shut the doors and we cease to exist, would the city notice? Like with the neighbors, maybe the neighbors know it's like parking is suddenly open, right? Like if your family just up and moved in the middle of the night to South Dakota, because what a great place to live, right? Someone laughed at that. Someone laughed at South Dakota, come on, right? And you just got up and moved, would the people, would your neighbors notice? And what would they notice? You know, if we're irrelevant, that means we're engaged in the city. If we're relevant, it means we're meeting specific needs. If we're relevant, it means that people look to the Cloquet Vineyard as a place of hope, as a place of change, as a place of, you gotta go, you want a place where you can experience like happiness, you wanna experience fun, I got the place for you. You want your kids to like thrive, I got a place for you. You wanna learn what it looks like to have a healthy friendships, I got a place for you. Like part of what we do, of our value, of how we do what we do, is we want to be culturally relevant and on mission. So where do we find that in the Bible? Let me show you. We find it multiple places, but we're going to be reading out of, where are we at? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. Starting verse 19. And we have Bibles available to you. I'm sorry I should have said this earlier. There's Bibles in the back on this little table. You can use your smartphone. We encourage people that if you want to follow along, because we love the Bible here. Everything we do, everything we teach is going to be based out of the Bible. And the reason that we make it available is so that you can read along. Maybe reading the Bible is something new to you. We'd love to have you join us. And if you don't own a Bible and you'd like to have one, you can feel free to take it. You can steal a Bible from a church, and that's a positive thing. So, verse 19. though I am free in, oh, no, I'm not doing 19. I change it. We're going to verse 22. 22. To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. So right before this, Paul breaks down a little bit more of that, of saying, hey, to the Jews, I'm going to become like the Jews. To the people under the law, I'm going to be like a man under the law. For people outside of the law, I'm going to be like them. And he kind of walks through of how he's going to adapt to different cultures and be relevant to that culture. And he says, you know, and I'm willing to do all things, to be all things to all men, so that I might save some. Here is, let's just pause for a message, and let's go over here to an important, like, little theological discussion. Anytime that you take a passage of Scripture, just one, and you isolate it, and you hold it up and say, oh, see, I can be anything I want. I can do whatever I want. Doesn't matter. There's no consequences. As long as at the end of the day, someone says that magic prayer to Jesus, as long as they have like a positive, like maybe emotional response of crying with Jesus, then it's okay. Because you could look at the verse and say, yeah, you know, I can just be all things, just as long as they say Jesus at the end of it, as long as there's a positive spiritual experience. And I've heard people use this, saying, hey, like, I heard this story of this youth pastor that would go out and he would, like, get high with his students. And his reason was, well, you know, I'm just trying to be relevant. That's what they do, so why not go party with them? Because at the end of the day, I'm able to be their friend, I'm able to connect with them, and I'm able to pray with them, and they come to me with advice. That's one way of doing it, I guess. I probably would recommend that. But you could do this, if you took verses out of the Bible, you could find anything you want to confirm what you really want to believe, what makes you feel good. As followers of Jesus, this is why, again, we're going to put a little plug for the Bible, we need to know our Bibles. We need to consume it. We need to like understand the context of what Paul's saying here. Because what Paul's saying here isn't just like, hey, it's like the wild, wild west. Shoot first, ask questions later. Jesus, all right? That's not how it works. Like, Paul, you should do that. Shoot first, Jesus, all right? Don't shoot people and yell Jesus, please. That is a horrible idea. If you're listening on the podcast, I do not advocate shooting and yelling Jesus. So, I am totally lost. So, we are talking about being relevant. Oh, Paul. So, Paul, if what Paul is doing here, right? If you look at the life of Paul, Paul was not just watered down gospel. I'll just make it happen. Let's do the song and dance, you know, bait and switch, just so at the end of the day they love Jesus. Here's a guy who firmly believed what he's believed, right? He went to prison for preaching the resurrection of the dead, Jesus. He was beaten for that. He was almost killed, and at the end, he really was killed for his faith. He never once compromised. What Paul did over and over again is he held up Jesus high. He held up the gospel high. And he was, if you read through 1 Corinthians, you read through Romans, he's saying, I'm going to like love Jesus more than anything else, even if it's my life. So he's just not trying to compromise here. He's in context, then we're seeing is that I'm willing to engage in real life with people to know where they're at, to hear their stories, to love what they love. Why? So that I can speak in a way that's relevant to them, because I'm willing to do that, to put my time, to put my personal preferences away, to be uncomfortable, to give up years of my life. This guy planted more than 14 churches, all the way from Rome, all the way into Turkey. Like, the way that you're relevant in Turkey might be a little bit different than it is in Rome, right? In Ephesus. So, we want to be a culturally relevant mission. We don't want to water things down. We just don't want to be willy-nilly. We want to engage in real life with people in the same way that Paul did. And one great story is in Acts 17. There's this place called Mars Hill. In Mars Hill. And Paul would go into a town, this is in Rome, and he'd first go to the synagogue, and he would begin to talk to people, to the Jews. And he'd talk about Messiah, talk about Jesus, and if that didn't go so well, then he would go into like other places. He'd go in other places where people of culture were meeting. Maybe they're spiritual, maybe they're not. And he would just like share life with them. And in Mars Hill, Acts 17, he shows up to this place where there's all these idols. And he notices one that says, to the unknown God or the unnamed God. And he looks around where he's at and he begins to engage people. But here's an important part. This is an important thing about being culturally relevant. he could look at all these idols, and as a follower of Jesus, you know, one of the big deals, you know, no other gods before me, Ten Commandments, right? And he could, like, get angry. And this is where some followers of Jesus, this is where our response, anything that is different to us is automatically a threat. Anyone who thinks differently than us, anyone who, like, has a different political view than us, anyone who just, like, the way that they raise their kids might look different than us, someone that has different values, instantly we can go to fortress. Whoa, 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 no, 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 you get away from me, you know, you can have that response. And maybe you felt that. Maybe you've experienced someone who has, like, follows life differently than you, and you just, no, not coming in. But Paul doesn't, people who are different than Paul, people who are different, he didn't look at them as a threat to his life. Like, this is for some of you here. Like, sharing life with Jesus and sharing life in community, loving God and loving people, is never a threat to the gospel. People who are different than you, people who think differently, people who look differently than you, people who talk differently than you, they are not a threat to the good and beautiful life. When we stand on the word of God, when we share life with Jesus, we're letting him meet our needs, we're engaged in, like, the intimacy with him, nothing else gets that move, that needle of our value, our worth, other than the person of Jesus crucified and resurrected. We can experience that good and beautiful life. So what Paul does, instead of seeing it as a threat, he uses it as a bridge. If you read Acts 17, he turns around and he says, wow, you guys seem like you really like religion. This is my own words. But he says, you know, you're some religious folks. And instead of, like, you are religious people, he's actually saying is, you guys have some faith. You guys, like, believe in something bigger than yourself. Look at all these idols, even one that you don't even know who it is, you still pray to, you still worship. And he's using that as a way of building this bridge. I, too, am a person of faith. I, too, believe in something bigger than myself. And then he begins to, like, engage in a conversation with them using philosophers, not just the Bible, but using philosophers that they understood, that they read, and he begins to, like, speak of it so they know what he's talking about because he knew what they're reading. He knew what piqued their interest. He knew what the roadblocks were. He knew what they loved, and he was willing to be relevant to that culture. Why? They could experience the good and beautiful life. Paul begins to say, but I know a God that is actually, he's not just unknown, he loves to be known, and he wants to know you. He created you. He talks about how he created, like, the boundaries for nations so that we would know him. And at the end of it, a bunch of people are like, we're happy for you, Paul, but we're going somewhere else. And a couple people followed him outside of town where they're able to pray and engage and share life with Jesus. That's what being culturally relevant is like. So, if the mission is, like, we're going to go into all nations and baptize them in the Trinitarian God, and we're going to teach them how to do every single thing that Jesus taught us to do. How's business going for you? Like, not just us as, like, the Vineyard Church, but, like, for you. We call that discipling. How is that going? Because if this is a value of who we are, then this should really affect and touch every single thing we do. There's opportunities to teach people what life with Jesus looks like. There are people out there just waiting to have a conversation about, like, what does it really look like to have a healthy relationship? What does peace really look like? Jesus talks over and over again about that there's this beautiful life, life to the fullest. What? I feel like that's just not possible. Like, how's business? Like, what would it look like if Cloquet Vineyard, like the people in this room, people listening to this podcast, what if we were the most relevant? Not just to be hip. That is not my goal. Let's be relevant and be hip. Woohoo! That's not my goal. Paul said, what's his goal? Is that just some would be saved. He was driven by love. There's a big difference being driven by love and being driven by, we just gotta get some numbers. Huge, huge difference. I want to be driven by love. Like, if we were relevant, we would really know. So, like, what would it look like? Oh, I forgot a big point here. How are simple ways we can be relevant? Simple ways that we can be relevant. It's two things. First one is this. You want to be learn how to be relevant? You're looking here and you're like, okay, how do I do that, Chris? Do I have to, like, crisscross? Because that's the only thing I've heard so far. Is this. You want to be relevant? Talk less. Listen more. That's number one. as a follower of Jesus, sometimes we can walk into a room, kick the door down, like, all right, let me tell you a little thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ, all right? Put that drink down. Get on your knees. Let's go. We're praying, all right? That's what, I have never seen anyone do that, but right, that'd be one way. But a great way to learn how to be relevant is just by sharing life. Ask life-giving questions. How long have you lived here? What do you love about Cloquet? Like, where do you find beauty in Cloquet? If you have enough relationship with someone, you want to have a great conversation, ask this question. What do you think about life with Jesus? What do you think about life with Jesus? I've asked that question a ton of times. And in our minds, we think if I say that, then they're going to have this response like, I don't talk about religion. I don't want to talk about Jesus. Get out of here, Sodder. Not once. That's why when I get up here and I say, I think people are just dying to be noticed, I'm convinced of it. They want to have some sort of spiritual conversations, but in a way that's relevant to them. That's relevant to them. If you ask that question, people from all different ranges are like, life with Jesus, I have no interest in any idea at all of why anyone would ever do that. Right? And then I have an opportunity not to like win them to the Lord, but to share life and say, yeah, this is what life with Jesus looks like for me. Other people are saying, I have never thought about life with Jesus. That's been life, and there's Jesus. Life with Jesus. Like, listen. Ask life-giving questions. Sit on people's couches. Like, go into your teenager's bedroom and talk to them and ask questions instead of just, like, again, kicking the door down and saying, you got to do more. Production's got to go up. Expenses got to go down, all right? Like, listen. So here's the second thing. So the first one is talk less, listen more. Second thing is this, is show up. Just show up. You want to be relevant? Show up. Your neighbor's moving? Show up. So they're like shutting the curtains and like, turn the lights off. We're not going to help them move, all right? Here's one thing that like that God totally convicted me of is in my message when I was writing it, I put down like, hey, when the teacher sends an email asking for these things, do it. Like show up at the field trip. Bring the Kleenex box. Show up for a conference, right? And as I was writing that, I'm like, oh, that's really good. I'm like, oh, yeah. There's a huge opportunity for me to like really get to know my kids' teachers, to really love their school. Like, I don't know their stories. Like, I know their names. I don't know their stories. I don't know what they love. I don't know like what they're dreaming of my kid. I don't know what their vision is for like all these, like, think of all the classes they have. Here's like men and women who are like imparting wisdom and beauty and dreams. I have no idea what those are, right? If we're relevant, show up. Like if when like the city council says, hey, we need some help like cleaning out the gutters. We need someone to like do the gardening. We need someone to go help feed people at this event or volunteer. I would love if we are known as a community that we show up. Instead of saying, come to us, come to us. Come on, come to us. I'd much rather have the reputation of like Cloquet Vineyard. People at Cloquet Vineyard, they're engaged. Those are two ways right off the bat you can grow in your ability to be relevant. This is where I end. The opportunity, like for to be on mission as Cloquet Vineyard, we are moving that direction. So far this year, since we started November 8th, we've had 19 people surrender their life to Jesus, right? Who showed up and said, this life with Jesus thing, I want it. I'm ready for it. That is 19 people, guys. That's unbelievable. 19 people. People are experiencing hope. I talked to one guy 3 weeks ago, and I walked him, I didn't know him, and I shook his hand. I said, hey, how did you enjoy the service? And big guy, tears. This is like the third time this happened with big guys. So if you're a big guy, for some reason I make them want to cry, probably because I'm so good looking. Probably. That just came to my mind right now. So, and he started to tear up. I said, what's going on? And he goes, I'm not ready to talk about it yet, but I've never experienced life like this. I'm like, ooh, it's amazing. I love that. People are experiencing. You guys know where it is just like exploding with potential for kingdom moments? Do you know where it's just like, it's just dripping with opportunities for people to experience that good and beautiful life? It really is on your front porch. It's like on your neighbor's dinner table, laughing. It is at your teenager's bedroom. It's in the bleachers. It's down like at the rendezvous. It's like on the golf course. It is just dying for people to experience God. If we are willing to be relevant, if we're willing to be engaged, if we're willing to just get to know the people in our neighborhoods, at our offices, like in our cities, at our schools, I'm absolutely convinced. I don't even have to say convinced. I know there's a good and beautiful God. I know he loves to show us what he's doing, and he's inviting us to do that together. So who we are as a Colquitt Vineyard, we are a people who are willing to love the city. We are a people who are willing to do whatever it takes with never compromising the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ ever, but willing to love people in practical ways. So why don't we stand? So here's what I'd like to do. You know, we take time at the Vineyard every single week. And if you're newer here, you've been here for a while, you'll realize that there's going to be some people coming up here and they're going to turn and face you. And this is our ministry team. And these are people who want to share life with you, like not move into your house, but like want to like hear your story, want to hear your story and just and look you in the eyes and just ask God to show up and like really give you some good things. We believe that God heals, that God loves us, he empowers us, that he is just crazy about you, and we can experience that in practical ways, like not just later, but even right now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray over us just as a community and pray over us, even those who are listening on the podcast, pray over you as well. And then when we're done praying, we're going to worship for a little bit. And then if you'd like to come up and receive prayer, that'd be awesome. So let me pray. So, God, we just thank you. We thank you that you noticed us. And the whole concept of being culturally relevant, there's no better example. There's no better example than the person of Jesus. And God, you had all the power, you had all the privilege. And you noticed me. You noticed us. You noticed that we just couldn't get it. Couldn't do it on our own. And instead of saying, well, too bad, you've already compromised, God, you came close to us. And John, it talks about how like God became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. The whole idea of being culturally relevant is God's heart, that he became relevant to us. He took on our pain. He learned our stories. He learned what we love. And he went to the cross. He went to the cross so that we could experience that life. So Jesus, thank you for the cross. God, thank you that you are radically, radically available, and that you still give to us through your Holy Spirit even now. So I ask, Jesus, that you would just over every single person here, God, first that we'd be able to receive and experience you. And the things where we feel distant, the things where we feel hurt, the things where we feel broken, God, that your word, your spirit is still relevant to our needs as individuals. And so for some of you here, that's you. The idea of God being relevant, not just to other people, but even just to yourself. You just feel distant from him. If that's for you, just receive it. Just receive that. God, I pray that you would show my friends how you love them. Holy Spirit, come. And then, God, I pray that you would use us. We open our eyes. We just get this picture of like the city of Cloquet, like the lights has just been dimmed down. I ask, God, that you would turn the lights on in ourselves, that we'd be able to see what you see. We'd be able to love what you love. We'd be able to engage and notice and love people in practical ways, in loving ways, in kind ways, in compassionate ways. And give us what we need, God, to really, really do that well. Not manipulate. But we can do it out of love. pray you help us love this city, love our neighbors, love the places we work. So use us, Jesus. Amen. So if there's anything else that's going on in your life, we'd love the opportunity to pray for you. Thank you for coming to the Cloquet Vineyard. And if you'd like to connect, I'll be out at the after party. Enjoy your Sunday.